as Marcus Pett and today I'll be talking about the effectiveness of antler restrictions in quality deer management. I'm going to begin with a brief outline of traditional deer harvest management. Then I'm going to discuss how quality deer management is different and some of the objectives and tools that quality deer management uses. Brief history of quality deer management in Tennessee and how that has affected some of the objectives in QDM. Then I'm going to start talking about some various antler restrictions and how effective they are in limiting the buck harvest, and also some of the limitations that antler restrictions have for protecting the buck harvest. And I'm also going to discuss using body characteristics in addition to antler characteristics to help age deer. Traditional deer harvest has focused mainly on bucks and protecting the does because deer were nearly extirpated from Tennessee at one point in time, and traditional management has focused on rebuilding these populations. However, in many areas throughout the state, deer densities have now reached a point where they're fully stocked, and in some places they're causing problems such as crop damage or car collisions. And doe harvest can help control this population growth. Quality deer management is a management philosophy that emphasizes a balanced, healthy herd within these biological and social carrying capacities that I mentioned earlier. QDM can improve the sex ratio by emphasizing doe harvest. This previous practice of protecting does and harvesting bucks has in some areas skewed the sex ratio to highly favor does, whereas a natural sex ratio is closer to one buck for every 1.3 to 1.5 does. It also improves age structure. In Tennessee, up until 1998, the deer limit was 11 bucks, and most hunters were shooting multiple deer, and the easiest deer to kill were yearling bucks. So you had very few deer making it to maturity. And it also improves the hunting experience for hunters because the hunter takes an active role in managing the herd and and improving the sex ratio and age structure can improve the intensity of the rut and rutting activity. And like I said, the hunters and the managers are all involved to achieve the goals that the landowner sets out under quality deer management. So one of the keys to quality deer management is a liberal doe harvest. And as I said earlier, this improves the sex ratio, and it also reduces the pressure on the habitat by putting fewer males to feed on the habitat. There are places right now that they can't stand any more deer. You can go through the woods and there's nothing green within 4 feet of the ground where the deer have eaten everything that's edible. Limiting the buck harvest to mature deer is another goal of quality deer management, and quality deer management generally defines this as protecting all buck fawns, year and a half old bucks, and most of your 2.5 year old bucks. And once again, this improves your age structure and improves the sex ratio. And another part of quality deer management is enhancing the habitat through enhancing natural browse, like for example with some of the treatments Marcus suggests, or also through the use of food plots. Quality deer management, though, it's important to realize that this is not trophy management. The goal of quality deer management is not big bucks. There are no cull bucks in quality deer management. The harvest goal for quality deer management is mature bucks. But large antlers, you know, generally aren't the goal, but it's often a side effect if you have more mature bucks and you have a healthier deer herd. So, quality deer management in Tennessee. In 1998, we lowered the buck harvest from 11 to 2, but raised it to then raised it later to three, and that's the current regulation we have now, is $3 per hunter for the season. But we have no state antler regulations. We started issuing quota permits for does, and then we have Unit L, which is shown in the dark brown counties. These are the counties that traditionally have higher deer harvest, so it's assumed that these areas also have higher deer density. So to allow hunters to practice quality deer management, they have permitted hunters to take up to 3 does per day for the entire season. And certain WMAs throughout the state, to provide a higher quality buck hunting experience, established antler restrictions. So to look at the effects just of limiting the number of bucks hunters could shoot, we look at before the reduction in buck limit and post, and you see a 20-25% increase in mature bucks. And for TWRA's purposes, they define a mature buck as a deer 2.5 years or older. So, you know, we go from about, from yearlings and buck fawns comprising 20-30% of the harvest to about 50% of the harvest now. And at the same time, we haven't decreased our deer harvest. So mature deer and does are replacing these young bucks in the deer harvest. So a brief discussion now of some of the various harvest restrictions for bucks. You can lower the limit, or you can use antler restrictions. And lowering the limit, as we've seen here in Tennessee, does work to increase the age structure and to increase doe harvest. Some various antler restrictions can also be used, such as minimum point counts in spread, Boone and Crockett growth score, as well as other characteristics. Now, when deciding on antler characteristics and antler restrictions, it's important to consider the characteristics of the antlers in your region, because what works in one area will not work in the other. An example of this is Mississippi. They used a 4-point restriction, a total of 4 points for both antlers. Any deer with a minimum of 4 points was legal to harvest. However, they saw in their richest soil region, the Delta region, that they were actually high grading their deer, and they weren't protecting very many of their young deer using that 4-point restriction. And once again, the antler size will depend on the age, the genetics, and the nutrition. And the genetics is something that we pretty much have no control over. But generally, the antler size will increase with age, and it can increase, especially in stressed herds, when habitat conditions improve, either because of a lower deer density or because of more available forage. And some antler characteristics will correlate better with age. This is an analysis of antler characteristics from deer harvested on Ames Plantation. And as you can see, 3 points on a side is not a very good recommendation as an antler restriction for a quality deer management program. It protects barely half of the yearling bucks, when your goal in quality deer management is to protect all of your yearling bucks, as well as most of your 2.5. So a 15-inch minimum spread would be a good starting point. A lot of people use a 15-inch minimum spread and an 8-point minimum. Main beam length seems to protect the deer fairly well, but main beam length can be very difficult to field judge. Judging the difference in an inch between what could be a legal deer and a deer that you don't need to be harvesting can be difficult. The growth scores are very good at protecting the deer, and this is something you can set up. You can base this on the deer herd in your area. However, another thing to consider here is this can be difficult to field judge for the average deer hunter who doesn't know what he's looking for. And this is a graph of the age structure of harvested deer at Catoosa WMA. This is the buck harvest. Once again, they put their antler restrictions in 1998. They used just the 4-point on a side, and you can see up to that point they had about 70% year and a half and buck fawns in the harvest, and about 30% 2.5 year old and plus. But when they went to that 4 on a side, the trend completely switched. And for a wildlife management area where you have a weekend where a hunter has the opportunity to take a deer, you know, the hunter has a very limited window. This is to maintain hunter satisfaction and harvest opportunity. This would be a good compromise between a very stringent regulation that would, you know, push more deer into that older age class, but it would also really keep down the harvest numbers and the deer that the hunters would be able to take. Antler restrictions are not perfect, though. You know, you have the case in Mississippi where their restriction was not tight enough, where it didn't protect enough deer, it didn't protect their yearlings. And once again, what they were seeing was a lot of their top-end genetics, their better younger deer were being taken. And another thing to consider is odd or broken antlers can result in illegal mature deer, such as a case where a deer breaks off a main beam, he doesn't have a minimum inside spread, or he doesn't have enough points now to qualify for harvest. A good compromise here is to set an inside spread or a point restriction or any mature deer if the hunter is able to identify a mature deer. Another thing to consider is hunters get excited when they see antlers. I don't know that this has been scientifically proven, but anybody in this room who's hunted deer can testify to that. They look a whole lot bigger through the scope and when you shoot them a lot of times than they do on the ground. And the solution to this is to use body characteristics in conjunction with antlers to help identify deer that are mature and deer that you want to, that need to be harvested. You can see here, here's three examples. We have, moving from left to right, we have a younger deer and a fully mature deer over here on the right. Things to look for is the neck. Compare the neck of that deer to this deer to this deer. This deer is probably a yearling, maybe 2.5 year old. It has a very thin neck. Compared to this deer, the neck blends right into the shoulders and right into the brisket. Look at the jawline on this deer. He's starting to sag a little on the jawline, where these two deer have relatively straight jawlines. You can also look at the back and the belly. While this deer is not a great example because he's turned at a funny angle, mature bucks will generally start to have some sag in the back and the belly. Or as you can see, this deer is probably a 3.5 year old deer, but his belly is fairly straight across. And you can also look at the degree of the muscle tone in the shoulder and in the rump, comparing especially this youngest deer to the deer in the middle. And you can see this deer on the far right looks like, just looking at the neck, looks like he could be in full rut. But this picture was taken in early September. He's still in full velvet. So a good tool for identifying these bucks, though, as mature or not, is trail cameras, because you can get multiple looks at this deer and identify him as mature or not before his neck is swollen up when he's in full rut and before he's chasing does and before you're trying to catch him running through a thicket in the crosshairs. You can identify him by their unique antler configuration. You can age them by relative body mass, body size, or you could even use antler characteristics for your area. And it's good to know what you're looking for before you hunt. Another good thing about using these trail cameras is you can use these as a tool to set your doe quotas before the season. So you know what your goal is for your doe harvest. You know how many does you need to take off your property. Antler restrictions can be used to protect young bucks if they're strict enough and if they're set up for your area, because antler size will vary from region to region. Most of the pictures in this presentation are deer from West Tennessee, where you have a whole lot more agriculture, which, you know, you have better nutrition. Whereas in East Tennessee, you know, you may set your restrictions at a lower level. Body cues can definitely be big clues to age. A lot of times when you see a deer's body right off the bat, you can, without much training at all, you can identify that as a young deer or a mature deer. The liberal doe tags that TWRA has established give the hunters the opportunity to practice QDM if they want to. But the key to getting these deer to maturity, to practicing QDM, is trigger control. I've listed some online resources here for more information on quality deer management. Dr. Harper has an excellent publication out on starting up quality deer management on a property. There's the address for it. It's available through the UT Extension website, the Quality Deer Management Association, and Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. Now I'll take any questions.
How widespread is QDM in different states, like particularly state problems like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, are they using this now?
I know it's used much more commonly in the southern states than it is up north. I think a lot of that, Pennsylvania, for example, is using it now, and there was I think most of the reason that they haven't moved to that in a lot of northern states is the resistance from the hunters. You know, in Pennsylvania, the hunters, they rode Gary Ault out of town on a rail because of suggesting that the deer had overbrowsed the woods. Whereas in the South, you know, everybody's just so excited, you know, because we can shoot the does now. Whereas, you know, up north they're still held in, you know, real high regard. But a lot of it is social pressure on these agencies.
In at least 15 states now. That's not statewide, but that means like in Tennessee there's no statewide antler restrictions, but there are antler restrictions on at least a few of the WMAs that will give hunters a public opportunity to practice QDM if they want to.
Yeah. Well, I think the education has a lot to do with it, because, you know, most of the deer hunters in the state are one deer hunters. They go out, they hunt the opening weekend of rifle and the opening weekend of muzzleloader season, and they shoot one deer and generally they're done for the season. So then, you know, at the same time you have kind of the more avid hunters. But you know, I think the avid hunters are the ones who are wanting a move towards this, a reduction in the buck limit, liberal doe harvest, whereas the weekend hunter didn't necessarily see any benefit from that because he was just going to shoot one deer anyways. But I think the education, and even not necessarily that, but just what they're seeing in the woods now as a result of this move, if they weren't in favor of it before, you know, they really like the move now. And a lot of hunters would like to see the limit drop to two or even one. But I don't know if that's going to happen, or that probably wouldn't be the best management strategy.
Michael, how do you know that QDM improves the hunter experience?
Well, Chris Shaw had, some of the charts I have in this presentation are data from his research, and the people, he did a survey statewide, and I don't know the numbers on that, but the hunters that practice QDM like it, generally, and they keep doing it. And I don't have any data on that right here with me.
Even if they like it, how do you know it's an improved experience over the good outcomes? I mean, they could have high levels of satisfaction, but how would you actually show that it's an improved experience? They like to just go out there and shoot whatever. That is the highest level of satisfaction they can have. So how could you improve their experience?
If what they're looking for is to go out there and shoot whatever, then far be it from me to tell them that they can't go shoot whatever as long as we're within the game regulations. But A lot of hunters enjoy it because, it's sort of when they start managing the land and when they start managing the herd, they're sort of taking ownership of it. They feel that, I let that deer walk last year, that, basket rack 6-pointer walk, and my buddy killed a 16-inch wide 10-pointer this year. That could have been the same deer. They start taking ownership for the resource and start taking a responsibility, so they, they feel like that they have helped, that their action or their restraint has somehow improved the resource.
Well, for today, any department announcements before we take off? Let's give Michael a round of applause.